eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease and a whole lot of love, you transform 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. LED headlights, spoilers, whatever you need. eBay Motors has it at affordable prices. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride every time. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
For the first time ever, Tom Vial is a winner in Monster Energy Supercross. Chet Lawrence wins Daytona.
We came in for business. Hopefully we can keep clicking them off.
Hey guys, welcome to Title 24 presented by NBC Sports. I'm Ricky Carmichael. Got my co-host Ryan Villopoto coming at you live from Daytona International Speedway. This is my second week doing it remote. It's been a heck of a week for sure, but this was our only option, but it's a good backdrop for sure. Before we get going, we got to thank our sponsors, United Motorsports, Quadlock Case, Boxo USA, and Dunlop Tires. We appreciate you guys for coming on board. And RV, it was a wild week for me, with the Triumph press launch. The bike reviews were good. And here we are today, man. Another successful weekend of Daytona Supercross. And did you have a chance to watch the whole broadcast?
Oh, yeah, we did. Yeah, I'm hearing some good things from the Triumph side. You guys out there at Gatorback was good to see all that stuff out there, get the media on those new bikes and get those ran through. So, but yeah, I was able to watch Daytona. I thought it was, we had some really good racing. Man, I know the points are still pretty close, but it seems like we always talk about Daytona and where this falls into the season. And, it's now you can kind of start to see some of these guys, some of the chinks in their armor. You know, this is when the going gets tough right now is from here on out. And I think that's kind of what we saw. You know, like you said, the cream always rises to the top, and Daytona is a place that's going to do that. And that's what I saw over the weekend on the broadcast.
Hey, just like a quick thought before we get into our United Motorsports moment of the night. Do you think there's any coincidence? And Butterlegs asks, do you think there's a coincidence? Both winners were developed in Europe. So Vial, Jet Lawrence. You think that has anything to do with why they did so well because of the conditions?
I'll start with the 450 class. Yes and no. I think that Eli's strongest rides to date of this championship season of the championship chase. He rode really well, but as for switch to the lights class really quick. Yes, I do believe that the conditions that Tom faced and all the riders that they faced on Saturday night. I think that if anything, Tom was going to probably feel the most comfortable kind of on those conditions, those a little bit more sloppy, a little more slippery, deeper conditions, the track breaking down. It was very much more of like a, I don't want to say European track, but it's not our typical supercross track. So I kind of figured coming into this, if he put himself in a great position, he would be on the box. And like we saw, big mistake by Cameron, but he was able to capitalize on that mistake and knock down his very first Daytona win ever. Huge Supercross win, by the way. Yeah. So I do think that the track, the conditions, it probably favored somebody like Tom because he's not as experienced as somebody like Jet. I think Jet had the opportunity Eli had the opportunity to win so I don't think it was as big of a difference in the 450 class as it was in the 250.
There you go. That's good. Yeah, that's interesting. Good stuff. It was brutal conditions. The sand was super heavy. We'll get into that a little bit throughout the show. But stepping right into it for the 450 recap, brought to you by United Motorsports and the United Motorsports moment of the night. Jet Lawrence coming in clutch. You know, like you talk about it, RV, the cream always rises to the top. And as we're watching some play by Jet Lawrence going up the inside, this is when he makes the move past Eli Tomac, and it was really quick. And I almost wonder, I bet Sexton didn't even think that it was Jet Lawrence, but Jet Lawrence makes two key passes early and then really just rides off into the sunset. But he was quadding. Do you think that that was the full decision maker or no? Do you think that's what?
You know, back to the pass really quick. He capitalized, made the pass quick on Eli. And then Chase just, yeah, like you said, didn't really know that he was there potentially or that close. Chase goes to the outside, and Jet was able to capitalize and make two passes literally within 100 feet of each other. So Jet was on rails. He was able to knock down that quad too. I know Eli had said in the presser that he was bummed on himself to not take the risk to jump that sooner. I do think that was – that was a passing point on the track where you could really suck up a lot of ground on somebody, make up a lot of time in a very short section, and potentially set yourself up for a pass on that next right-hand turn, or just bridge the gap to then be able to really sit behind somebody and make that move. So I do think the quad was pretty crucial. A fair amount of guys were doing it until it really got kind of nasty, but man, like I said, I thought Eli rode. That was probably Eli's strongest race of this season so far.
Really, over last week or the week before?
I would say, Ricky. Yeah, I do. I think with the conditions, I know he does well. He fares well in those conditions, Daytona conditions in general. But I think that he was there, right? I thought he rode well. He was able to put some pressure on those guys. Jet obviously got through them pretty quick and bridged that gap. But with the longer motos, like I know it's still 20, but very very taxing track.
Gnarly conditions.
I thought it was a strong ride from Eli. I mean, I still consider him. I'm not pulling him out of the championship roster just yet. I think there's still more in the tank there.
Yeah, Andrew Hank 82 he asked, was Jet the only rider to dial in a good rhythm after clearing the quad? I do feel like he wasn't the only rider. Another guy that I feel like had a really good rhythm through that first section is Ken Roczen. We didn't watch him much on the broadcast just because there was so much action happening with Eli Tomac and Chase Sexton. But every time that we did watch Kenny, he was carrying really good momentum through there. He was all day, actually, RV. So that was a good one. Andrew Hank, thanks for the question. So moving along, dude, what did you think of that mishap on the gate with Jet? That was nuts, dude.
Yeah, it's you know, I know I saw some rumblings back and forth. Like, we're watching now replay. When they do their hot lap, you can see coming behind the gate there where all the mechanics are standing. For anybody that's watching our replay right now, it's nasty, it's muddy, it's sticky. So I know they can burn their tire off, which I think I might have probably chose to do instead of changing tires. And now you have Jet's mechanic trying to peel off the basically it's a tire protector through all the mud. So the rubber on the tire does not get muddy. So, but in that time right now, you can see the very chaotic, very frantic trying to pull it off. 30-second board was already up, barely made it, you know, got his hands and fingers out of the way there. So that was luckily there. But no, it's a lot of chaos. It's already enough chaos. The nerves are through the roof when you're on the line there and everything's going perfect, let alone scrambling to get the cover off of the tire, right? So definitely Jet was able to recover. I thought actually his gate drop into the first turn and even halfway through the first turn, he salvaged very, very well. And then he actually ran into the side of Chase Sexton, kind of as that turn makes the second left-hand turn. Like, he's in a great position right now, right there, essentially first, second, or third, depending on how he comes out. But then Chase was able to just kind of chop him off as Jet was also going wide, and he had to get on the brakes there. So great salvage by Jet, you know, to be able to deal with all of that, mishap and all of that chaos going on right behind him, right on his rear wheel. And then to literally have his mechanic get the cover off of the tire and then the board drop within, I don't know, 3 to 5 seconds. So good salvage there. Good on the mechanics, because that's a gnarly position to be in. But they were able to rally around it and get it off.
You ain't joking. I didn't myself personally. I talked about this on the broadcast, and I want to know what you think about situations like that. RV is like, I didn't like to have that kind of chaos happening. Like I would have rather just not have taken the parade lap or the sight lap, just because I don't like that angst right before the race. You're already crunched on time. Guys are trying to get to their gate. There's literally no room back behind the gate. And then you're taking the tire on, you're putting a new tire, you're taking an old tire off, putting a new tire on. One little slip up, then you're like, you're waiting. Then you have to bring out the 2 minute warning to where they give you an extra 2 minutes. And I don't know, I tried to avoid those situations. So a lot like what you were saying, how Jet was able to keep his composure in those situations, that's tough to do. He was in a really tough spot. I mean, literally, he put the bike in gear and the gate dropped within 2 seconds. And for you to break it down the way you did and explain it the way you did was, and it just makes me think, like, that was gnarly how he was able to overcome that difficult situation. Sam Davey, he asked, that person asked, how would it have been for Jet to how hard would it have been for Jet to focus on the start with everything going on? And you nailed it right on the head, dude. Super hard. I didn't like those situations. Did you like?
Yeah, I mean, I think obviously if you're going into that situation, you know you're going to probably change your rear tire. One thing that we would do is if it had to do with anything of goggles or anything to do with like taking a little extra time behind the line is if you do the parade lap, you kind of want to. Like as soon as they let you out of the gate, you can then kind of not race the track, but ride around the track faster, be the first one back to the gate. So you can give yourself another, at least, you know, 30 seconds to 1 minute before you're dealing with this fire drill, you know? So maybe that's something that Jet and the team will learn, right? Like if you're going to, if we're going to make a move, if we're going to change a tire like that, if we need that extra time, take the hot lap, but make sure the hot lap is done at a decent pace so that when you come in back to the starting line, you are the first one or second or third, but up front to where you have that extra 30 to a minute potentially as the slower guys are rolling around the track, kind of really looking at it. You give yourself that extra little bit of time. Maybe that's something he'll learn from and the team will change it up for next time if they are in a situation like that where they're changing tires.
Yeah, it was a going back to Jet and then we'll move on from him. Got a couple other people we need to talk about and that I want to hear your thoughts on it. But you know, Jet, they had like a production team on the TV crew had put together a little montage of all the slip ups or rookie mistakes that Jet has made so far this season. All stuff that happens, right? They're all going to go through it, and you're like, wow, if you add up all this stuff that he's went through and the mistakes that he's made, just rookie mistakes or just straight up mistakes. I wouldn't even call them rookie mistakes. If you get rid of that, dude, the guy's got a pretty good points lead. So he talks about his mistakes and learning from his mistakes. Got a little sound there. We can roll that and we can hear from the horse's mouth.
Yeah, it was kind of the biggest thing was focusing. I'd always kind of like previous weekend, my mistakes were on this basic rhythm stuff where it wasn't very a difficult kind of section where I'd kind of like just go through the motions. I think that's what cost me the most is on the easiest stuff. It's so easy for me to do it. That's like, especially with the 450 power and rhythms, I kind of just use it to go and catch a breath and up cost me. So it was kind of a good this week to work on like, no, staying focused, hit your marks and kind of having those times where if it ain't right, just being okay to lose a tenth or so. Normally being young, I'm so just wanting to be perfect always and not lose any time and always trying to gain time and not give up any time to guys behind me or in front of me. So I'm always trying to, if I'm a bit off, I'll still try and go for stuff. So where this week I was just trying to, you know what, if I'm not perfect, just back out of it and kind of learn from those mistakes, which I think has kind of cost me in a previous races.
When I hear that, that's the first time I've heard that soundbite, and I don't know if you've heard it, but like what comes to mind when I hear that RV for me is like That's like a veteran talking, and how in depth, and he's really in tune with where he knows he's messing up. And what and another thing I bring from that is he said, if you guys listen what he says there, and hone in on this of how these sections are easy for him. So he kind of takes a breath, but then he knows that now, because they're easy, he has to stay focused in those areas. So I feel like now that he's recognized of where he is making the mistakes, that those type of mistakes probably aren't going to happen quite as much, because now he's aware. It's like I've always said, you know, if you ask a rider like, okay, well, where do you need to be better? And they say, I don't know. Well, how can we get you better if you don't know where you don't feel good? We can't fix the problem spots, right? So that's some really good insight that Jet just shared with the world on where he needs to be better. So, I mean, like, what's your thoughts when you hear that? Is that pretty advanced thinking? Are you surprised by that because of his age, or like, what do you think?
I mean, to start it off, you know, Ricky, to his name, he's got 3 hole shots this year, average starting position around 5th place. Laps led to this season, 81, substantially more than the rest of the field. So yes, to some of these mishaps, I think those are things you're seeing that's in this 450 class. That's a 17 round series. You know, and then you have the super motocross after that. So this is what we're seeing, as you know, when it comes to the big boy class, the major, the workload that the 450 class brings, and he's still able to have the best record so far. So yes, with a little bit of clean up on his mistakes, and like you said, he's aware, Dazzy's aware of these mistakes, and Jet's aware of these mistakes, so they're going to go back to the drawing board, like he said, this past week, and fix them, right? So if you know what the problem is, it's easy to fix. So yes, speaking like a true veteran, Jet's in this for the long haul. He's going to be hard to beat for this championship. I will say he's got a 10-point lead now on Coop, on Webb, and you know, let's see what he can do with that. If he can start stretching this sucker out, he's got a 10-point lead, and we're starting to close down to the end of this series. So we're gonna have to see some amazing rides from Eli, from Chase, and especially from Coop if they want to stay in this fight.
You talked about at the top of the show, you thought that this was one of Eli's strongest race so far this year. And T-Wash23 asks, was it really just the quad that was the difference, or are they just making excuses now? And you know what? Let's roll some tape, Aaron, of Eli and what he thought about the quad.
Yeah, it was. I mean, really, that cost me any chance at the win. And I didn't do it at all in the heat race. And then in the main, I didn't do it till after I got passed by Jet, and then whatever it was, somewhere past halfway there. And it was frustrating because once I did do the quad, I was on the right side of that lip, and it was like no big deal. So, yeah, it was just a mistake. I wish I would have caught on to it earlier, took a little more risk, but that's what happens.
He is in the position, in my opinion, and I want to hear what you have to say, that he's going – like if he – he's never been a guy that takes risks. He rides within his comfort zone. His comfort zone is super fast. Do I think that's why he lost the race? No, I don't, being straight up. And I thought it was a hell of a ride that Eli took. He definitely would have been closer, but I just don't know if that was the end all be all of why, you know, why he didn't win. And he even says, he's like, I think I would have had a better shot, but he didn't say, oh, I would have won had I do that. But I think that he is in the position now. And I was in this position with Stu, is I realized towards the end of my career, that I was going to have to risk it. And I'll be straight up, I wasn't willing to risk it. I didn't want to put myself in that position. I was already happy with what I had accomplished, and I was just going to gamble on the side of, well, he's risking it a little more than I am, and I'll just hopefully rely on, you know, a mistake from him, and that's how it went. I think Eli's going to be in more of those situations, and he's the only man that's going to be able to make that decision if he's willing to do that. And if he's not, then there are probably going to be more times than not where he's going to fall short as far as winning against a guy like Jet or Chase, in my opinion.
Yep. No, I think, you know, that's the difference you're seeing in, you know, maybe it's the age gap. It's just the maturity between the two, you know, like, and Eli said, like you said, he's bummed at himself for not, you know, pushing that next to that next little limit there, getting that quad down. What I do think could have happened is if he would have gotten that quad down and he kind of would have got his mojo back or got that, you know, I guess the relit of the fire, I think, and he could have kind of got into his zone. Maybe that would have pushed Eli to, you know, just start to go a little bit quicker on the rest of the track. 'Cause now he's got a huge, obstacle out of the way, out of his head, you know, 'cause that was a huge, huge time difference. And to go quad there, I'd say half a second, maybe a second by that whole end of that straightaway. So it was a huge, huge benefit to jump that. So on the rest of the track, he looked fairly quick. He looked, comparable to Jet and to Chase, but really losing it in that long rhythm section. So if he was able to pull the trigger a bit sooner, maybe we would have saw a little bit different, Eli Tomac out there on the track, but, you know, nonetheless, he stayed in it. He was smart. You know, that rhythm section was taking lots of dudes down.
It was throughout
the day and throughout the night. So he's still in this thing, but he's got to start either winning races or Jet's going to have a kind of a bad weekend.
Yeah. And you know how it goes. Like, now you get to this stretch of the championship and then you can start almost going to protection mode. You start saying, okay, well, I have this amount of points. I can afford to get a second here. I can afford to get a second at this race. So it's going to be interesting. It's crunch time. We all have been saying it. And still a lot of racing left and one notable. I think of the remainder of the races, RV, I believe that there's only two more venues that we go to that are completely covered.
Yeah.
So maybe, you know, there's still that little thing out there lingering that could
Oh, definitely. Dude, I think, you know, a lot of the races are from Texas East right now. Quite a few new stadiums coming up. You know, and if they're open stadiums, you always have a chance for weather. And we've already we've had two pretty gnarly mud races already this year. So, you know, and it's a tough spot to be in if you're Eli, right? Because it's either you have to either start winning or you're forcing yourself for Jet to, you know, have a mistake to where you're, you know, you have two options. It's either you have to win out or Jet's got to make a big mistake. So that's not a really good position to be in because, you know, let's say if he was 5 points out, you know, get a bit, the gap's a bit closer where you, like you said, you can't afford to take a second, you can't afford to take a third. But right now, it's kind of a critical situation where he either needs to start winning and just straight up beating Jet to close that points gap that Jet has.
Hey, real quick, before we go to our Dunlop due diligence, let's look at the points again. And I want to ask you something. So you see the cutoff. I'm calling it the cutoff at this point, where anyone below Eli Tomac. Ken Roczen, he's now 27 points out of the lead. Yeah. Lessinger is 28. Anderson now is 29. Those three guys, I hate to say this, but they're on life support as far as the championship goes. It's going to be a slim, slim chance that they crawl their way back up into this for the running. Do you agree? Do you not agree?
I 100% agree. I have up on my notes here AP with the you know, big crash and a massive loss of points. You saw that he was in this game. He was in this title fight up until Daytona, and now we're looking at points right now, and he's down 28 to Jet. Substantial loss of points this last weekend at Daytona, to your point that anybody behind Eli there. Okay. Basically life support. Yeah. I mean, and it's because you're not racing against just one guy. They each of those guys have three or four that they have to go through before even bridging the gap to Jet. So it is a long shot. Mathematically, they're still in it, but they should be moving and focusing on bridging the gap up to podium position at this point.
Yeah. Again, no shots fired by RV and I whatsoever, but knowing what we know from winning multiple championships at this level in this series, when you get back that far at this stage in the series, it's so hard to come back and make up all those points. You run out of time, and the guys that they're racing are good. Not to say that Kenny and AP and Anderson aren't good, dude. They tote the mail, but there's just not enough time, and it's just that hard to compensate for the points that they've lost. So we'll see. I still think that those guys
Ricky, it's the hardest time of this series. You're coming down to closing it out. This is the time where the guys are getting a bit tired. The nagging injuries. They're like, dude, can we start testing for outdoors? Can we start to move to outdoors? The guys that aren't in the points chase, right? It's kind of a transition point, but the guys that are in it for the long haul, the Jet, the Eli, the Chase, the Cooper, those guys are still focused on Supercross, and those guys aren't going to have the mistakes, you know, at these last, I'm sure they could, but they're going to try to minimize these mistakes.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease and a whole lot of love, you transform 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. LED headlights, spoilers, whatever you need. eBay Motors has it at affordable prices. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride every time. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow, and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour, and they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit truegreen.com, TRUGREEN.com, to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
Start clean with Clorox, because Clorox delivers a powerful clean every time. Because messes happen. Because... I made a charcoal mess. Great, because why would I put that on my face when I could drop it in my sink? This is what I get for multitasking. Ugh, why is charcoal so sticky?
Hello?
Hey, Janice. I am so sorry. I thought I was on mute. No, we don't need to reschedule. I'll just stay off camera. Ooh, yeah, that happens. So start clean with Clorox. Use Clorox products as directed.
As this series closes out.
Moving on to the Dunlop due diligence section portion of the show. Appreciate Dunlop tires, best in the business. I had some on my bike this weekend. It was working well. I wasn't pushing the tires to the limits, that's for sure. But glad to have Dunlop on. They are in here at the RCSX and Mass Support. So check out Dunlop, get yourself some new tires. So in our due diligence section this weekend with Chase Sexton, I think it was a good ride for him. What did you think? Did you like what you saw from him? I mean,
I thought Chase rode well. He put himself in a great position. I can't tell if it was him getting tight or if the hand was caused starting to get sore, caused a little bit of problems. But early on, it looked like he had had the speed. He was running a pretty good pace, but over the course of the 20 minutes, just lost a position or two, and then just lost touch with Jet for sure. And then Eli, obviously. So, not a stellar ride from him, but a solid ride.
Yeah,
you know, I think right kind of where he needs to be, right? Like, I think, obviously with Daytona being as tough as it was, him coming off the hand injury, second, first would have been better, but he rode well, and I think if you want to call it a salvage race, you can call it a great salvage. Ended up on the podium.
I feel like for Chase Sexton right now, RV, I'd say he's solid. Is he where he needs to be? I don't think so. For the championship, I don't think so. But, maybe solid gets it done. time's going to eventually tell. I think he needs to be better, but he's still solid. A little extra due diligence. Go check out Vital MX and the post. I don't know if you saw this, RV. I know you hop on Vital once in a while to get yourself all revved up, but he had something funky going on with his forks. Probably going to get myself in trouble here, but you know what? We bring it to you raw on Title 24. And dude, he had what it looked to have been KYB internals. Oh.
I did see this. I read up on it. Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah, Michael Lindsay from Vital, he had made a post about it. This is a great find. And he explains it kind of a little more in depth of what he noticed from the garage area. Everyone could see it. So that's interesting. That's interesting. And, you know that they've been working on the bike. But to step off from, you know, WP and go down the KYB route, that's is interesting.
It is. It shows you what they're willing to go through and how to and put themselves in position to try to win this, to win races in this championship. So, you know, they're if this is true, if they are exercising KYB internals on that WP fork, you know, look, I know a lot of I've done this in the past. Like, we've tried parts that might not be an option at this point, right? It might be a complete, it can be a competitor's internals or a part, let's call it. And if we see any benefit, or if it is better, we like it better, whatever the case may be, then they'll take it back to the drawing board and either copy it or, you know, make it, improve it from where it's at. And go back and test it and things like that. So it shows you where these companies, where their minds are at and where their heads are at to for how much they want to win this championship. They're willing to try anything for these riders.
Right. Interesting. Yeah. Hey, I appreciate the hard work that they're doing to get the thing right for them, you know. So we'll have to see if he still runs that. And I'm sure that the journos will be checking it out and they'll be a little more focus on that. Moving along, I'm probably going to need your support for the quad lock question of the week, because I don't know that I'll be able to explain this properly, or maybe my messaging won't come out the way that I want to, and you can elaborate.
That's why I'm here, RC.
I know. You do the heavy load, man. You do the heavy load, and I love hearing it. Everybody loves hearing it. You wouldn't believe how many people have come up to me in the last several weeks, but because I've been here more often, and then with the press ride that we did at Gatorback, how many people comment on you, how well you're doing, and they love the pod. So
that's awesome.
And I appreciate you. So, quad lock question of the week. If you haven't checked out Quad Lock, go online. Quadlockcase.com, great company. They have a lot of stuff to offer. We actually use their mounts on the way down here. They got this like magnetic mount and charger in the car, so super convenient. Always makes things like life handy, if you will. So check them out. But the Quad Lock question of the week, the winner is Kenzie Whitman. Kenzie, thank you for being a loyal listener and fan of Title 24, and this is a good one. And Kinsey asks, Ricky, can you please explain why he's always raving about Cooper's mental toughness? Cooper has a bad night, gets all in his head, and someone has to piss him off or for him to even try hard. That's not mental toughness to me. That's an emotional, reactive person. So the reason that I say that he is one of the toughest dudes out there, and I'll put his mental toughness against anyone that he's racing against, is he just finds a way to win.
Yeah.
And he finds a way to win championships. Kenzie was talking about giving me the difference. I didn't see it in the rundown there, but Kenzie was asking, like, well, look what Ken Roczen has come from, you know, the gnarly injuries, of course, definitely. He's just tough. you know, and it does take some mental capacity and mental toughness to come back from what he did. He talked about his brother-in-law's injury and what that's done to him. Also super compassionate about that. But at the same time, yes, there is a sort of mental toughness to get through what Kenny has done, and it's incredible. I can't believe he's accomplished what he's accomplished since then. But that's a different kind of mental toughness than what I'm trying to explain or try to express about Cooper Webb. And the only way that I can really explain this properly for time's sake is if you're going down to the final round, winner take all, and conditions aren't perfect, bike isn't perfect, and everything is even, I'm taking Cooper Webb just because he is one of those guys. He mentally can find a way to get the job done, and he wins. And I think some things like that you can't teach. So the difference, at least when I was working, since we're talking about Kenny and Kenzie mentioned Kenny, you know, Kenny back in the day, he was super sensitive with his motorcycle. And if things weren't right, it was a struggle for him. Mm. Where I feel like, like a guy like Cooper Webb, if things aren't right, it doesn't control his night. He still can find a way to get the job done, and that takes mental toughness. Like, Cooper Webb isn't as talented as Ken Roczen. I don't feel like he can do things as technically well as Ken Roczen. So to be able to win and know you're not as tech as these riders and as fast as these riders, what else can it be?
Mm-hmm.
To me, that's mental toughness. And like, you know, he's battling against all these things of why you shouldn't win, and he still goes out there and hit and makes it happen. So I know I probably didn't explain it properly and the difference. I mean, I don't think he – what did Kenzie say to that? Kenzie thinks that that's an emotionally reactive person. To me, that's not an emotional react. Now, he feeds off of you walking up to him and telling him, you suck, dude. You forget how to ride?
Yep.
To me, that's different than being an emotional reactive – like, emotionally reactive person is different than a mentally strong person. That's my thoughts, dude.
Yeah. And I think, look, I'll use Jet for an example. Back to there's a lot of riders that just have that. It would have been in that scenario of dealing with the pulling the cover off the tire, right? And that last little bit of time that you have before the gate drops. To me, that shows the mental side of Jet. Also, somebody like Cooper, like, you get backed into a corner. Jet was backed into a corner on the line. He didn't let it affect him. He salvaged a great start. I know there's other riders on the line that were to be dealing with all of that outside noise, trying to pull that cover off the tire, would have botched their start. So, to your point about Cooper Webb, a lot of his wins, he hasn't been the fastest guy on the track. He's made, put himself in good position, and he's made really good moves. And the mentally tough, strong part of these riders, in my opinion, is how it goes into how many attacks can you fend off. You know, like, if you watch, if you go Cooper, Coop will dog you all moto, all race, and then all of a sudden put it up the inside last corner. I know that was one of the ones on Kenny. Last corner, passed him right there, basic to the transponder line. This was last year or 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Those are the types of things. Is how many times can Cooper withstand the attacks? And that's, I think, what makes somebody really mentally strong. You know, be able to keep fighting, keep coming back. You know, I can remember watching days, you know, yourself, Ricky, and James, or yourself and Chad. You know, like, I, looking back, I knew Chad only had two or three advances. And after that, he was going to regroup, or he was just going to lose sight of us or me. So I think that, to me, looking at a mentally tough rider is how do they handle all these things? Yeah, if it takes somebody to come in and kind of kick them in the ass and fire them up and get them going,
taken.
I don't think that's an emotional decision. I think that, you know, a lot of us were raised that way with being, you know, kind of having our parents or our team managers or our mechanics kind of lighten a fire under us.
Right.
Sometimes you get into a funk at these races. You got people pulling at you 10, 20, 30 different directions. Your qualifier practice didn't maybe go as good, and you're kind of just like in a funk, right? So when that means like getting on them, relighting that fire, making sure that they know why they're here. I know my mechanic would do that all the time. You know, get your shit together. Let's go. We're here for this reason, right? And you go down to the line and you walk through the tunnel of every one of these stadiums and you come out to the floor, and it's game time. And if you can come down to the floor and you can have your mental side of you put together, that's what's mentally tough. And for as many races as we have in a row, that's what I see mentally tough.
Yeah, mentally he fills in the gaps for his areas where he lacks. If it's speed or what have you, it's craft. And also it's his craft, not only mentally tough, but he has great race craft. And a lot of things, Kenzie, just to like that just for proprietary reasons, and it's really no one's business, but RV and I, like we know certain things about certain riders, whether in our time or these times, of what these guys deal with during the week, whether their bike might not be good or whether they might have an injury or whatever it might be, and what they are able to do because of those or what they're going through. Like I said, if your bike sucks and it's not perfect and you can go out there and still perform at a high level, to me, that is mental toughness. You just find a way to get it done. And in the past, Kenny wasn't, I keep going back to Kenny because Kenzie's was kind of talking about how Kenny was doing so well and after everything that he's done. But if the things weren't perfect, then Kenny wasn't perfect. If things weren't perfect for Coop, it didn't matter. He would make it perfect. You would never know that because he would never say anything. He's not going to let you know what's happening. But he performed when things sucked. And that's what I'm talking about. Great question.
That's the difference.
Kenny, not trying to beat up on you. She had just obviously, or I say she, Kenzie is just a fan of you. So there you go. And so she was, I guess, sticking up for you and didn't like what I talk about Cooper. So great stuff. We appreciate you being a listener. Slide into the Title 24 Instagram DM page, and JH will contact you with Quadlock. Quadlock will send you some stuff. I hope you enjoy it. I know you will enjoy it. Zach Reese, do you believe the 450 class points gap will shrink or is it over? What do you think, RV?
I mean, yeah, there's always a chance of it shrinking, but as of right now, 10 point gap, Cooper, Webb, Jet. I think it's going to, I mean, speculation, right? I do think that the points are probably going to stay very close, if not extend. I don't know who's going to extend it at this point, but I don't see it coming down to the last round with only 10 in between.
Yeah.
Too many races left to go. Too much to happen. Too many open stadiums. I mean, we don't know what's going to happen.
There's too many factors. And this has been a roller coaster season for sure. You're exactly right. I mean, there's still a lot of open air stadiums that we're going to. Rain, what's that going to look like? So still a lot of racing left for sure. Cody Anderson, does the AMA have any fan interference rule? So did you see how the...
I don't know. I'm sure they do. I'm sure there's some. And if AMA doesn't, their insurance company is going to be... their phones are probably ringing off the hook right now. Daytona looked probably the... I mean, I've been there many, many, many times, raced there many times, was able to win, I think, three of the times that I ever raced there. I don't know if I've ever seen it this packed. There was so many people up on the NASCAR track and that side of the field. And, you know, it's a bummer. I mean, I'd like to see, I just wish they would have waited for every motorcycle to get off the track. And then stormed over to the podium. It's not a good look. It's not a good look for us. It's not a good look for AMA and all the above. You know, it's a live racetrack, fans. Like, you know, you gotta,
Gotta be smart.
You gotta be smart. You know, you don't want to, like, I've been reading some stuff, and what's, how this could change things is now they may not let the stands actually, or the fans on the on the track. You might have to be now be in the stadium, actually in the stadium seats to keep this from happening.
Right.
You know, you're going to ruin a good thing that Daytona has by having the fans be able to get that close to the track behind those K rails. So I hope it stays the same. But you know, it's good to see the passion. It's good to see how, you know, how our fans are so involved. But it was kind of a dumb move. Whoever was the one that the first domino that fell, jumping the fence, you know, it just opened the floodgates. So, like I said, I like to see it, but I just wish they would have waited till every bike was.
Yeah, and another thing too, probably would have been a different outcome if it had interfered with the race results. It didn't interfere with the race results at that time. I know there's a couple people. I know that the fans were already running on the track, but dude, those guys were just cruising, and it didn't. Thankfully, it didn't. It did not adjust the race results. Otherwise, that would have been a problem. I did talk to AMA, and then real quick before we go to the Boxo breakdown and shift over to 250, man, we've been a lot of meat on this bone today. Had conversations with AMA and Mike Peltier, and he was extremely concise and to the point on what happened when you with the jet thing and being on the line and what the actual rule is. And so the rule states, and I don't have the exact wording in front of me, and I apologize, but the rule is basically, if you have to do a repair, you cannot do it on the metal grates behind the starting gate. You have to take your motorcycle off of the metal grate. Technically, that wasn't a repair.
Mm-hmm. That's where they would have pulled that off of his tire anyways, for everybody watching or listening. Right. You're talking jets. You would have pulled that thing when you jumped onto the grate itself. The point of that is to keep the tire clean.
Yeah. So, and that wasn't, you know, that wasn't a repair. If you want to get down in the nitty gritty, I'm sure you could, you know, if there was an infraction, you could take it to the courts and you're like, yeah, it wasn't a repair. Okay. So that was one reason why there wasn't an infraction or a penalty assessed, and I appreciate that. And then also AMA went and talked to a majority of the teams in the paddock and asked what they thought, and what do you think we should do about this? And they also took it another step, RV, and talked to some of the, I don't know if they talked to the riders directly, but they asked if that was a distraction to the riders around them, okay? And none of the riders had a problem with it. There isn't that rule that we're talking to you guys about, that is a rule. There isn't a set infraction or set penalty in place. So that was another reason why nothing had happened, or there wasn't like a time penalty or a points penalty.
Yep.
It's just a rule. There's not an infraction for it. So hopefully give you some clarification there. We appreciate Mike Peltier for giving us that insight. He's been a huge help here on Title 24. Whenever we have a question, he gives us the proper information. So I think that they made the right call on that. They shouldn't have done nothing. And they went in the paddock and they talked to the fans, right?
Yeah, no, I think it was good. It didn't affect, like you said, didn't affect any of the two riders either side of him. Mm-hmm. And like what I saw was, is obviously Jet, and he's very aware of his surroundings, and as a rider and so much time, seat time on these motorcycles, we all are. But just making sure his mechanic's hands were out of there, right? I mean, there could have been catastrophic from that point of view, but from the racing point of view, when you're on the line there and you get your goggles on, 30-second boards up, dude, your vision is like you literally are in tunnel vision, right? Like you are so focused, you don't know what's going on. I mean, there literally could be a tornado sitting behind you or a solar eclipse, and you wouldn't know what's going on when you're sitting on the line there. So, I think it was the right move. Like I said, that's exactly where you pull the cover off those tires, is on the line. It just went down way too far into the into the time of where the mechanics are supposed to leave the riders alone. But it is what they had to do. That's what we're watching right now. We're watching a Jets mechanic try to strip the tire off of the cover for the tire to keep from it getting dirty and keeping it clean. But yeah, it was a mad dash, and they were able to do it. So it was good to see. It didn't affect Jets' performance at all.
Dude, you watch those replays, and it's like literally the other guys where the gas was on. They're totally focused, ready for the gate to drop, and he's like looking back. It was that was incredible.
Want the same expert advice you get from the pros in the store while shopping online at DiscountTire.com? Meet Treadwell, your personal online tire guide that matches you with the perfect tire for your vehicle. Get your best match in 1 minute or less with Treadwell by Discount Tire.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease and a whole lot of love, you transform 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. LED headlights, spoilers, whatever you need. eBay Motors has it at affordable prices. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride every time. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour, and they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit truegreen.com, TRUGREEN.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
Incredible. It's never a dull moment this year. Moving on, 250 recap. Dude, Vial looked awesome. I mean, he was riding well all day long, and it never looked like he was on the edge. I'm sure he had some moments, for sure, but just super precise. You want to talk about, like, Daytona and the different styles of riding. Like, RV, you and I, we weren't scared to hang it out, and I think it works in conditions like that. And then you take a guy like Vial, or even Jet for that instance. They're just so methodical, and they just hop around, and you know, their timing is impeccable. Dude, that guy looked awesome, I thought.
Yeah, no, Tom rode good, put himself in a great position, obviously off the start through the first turn. And then we saw his pass on Cameron, you know, big mistake by Cam in that rhythm section, the rhythm section that caught out lots of guys. AP crashed there. That was the one that Eli didn't jump the quad in. So it was a tough rhythm section, but he was able to, I mean, he had the speed, right? That's what I see, is consistency in the speed. And he kept himself right there with Cameron to capitalize on a mistake like that Cameron just made, as we're watching on the replay. You know, this guy's no slouch. You know, I think he's a two-time MXGP 250 champ. And like we kind of started off in the beginning of the show, like, the Daytona is not a typical supercross track. I thought if he's going to do well, and also because we had the rain, the Daytona didn't develop like it can sometimes. I didn't see a lot of square edge holes. I didn't, sure, the track was rough. It was ruddy. It was gnarly. But it was a little bit different. It wasn't as high speed as in the past. In other past races at Daytona there. So I think all that kind of maybe worked into his favor. You know, it wasn't a mud race. It was a technical race. And that, like I said, they raced a lot of those conditions over in Europe. So coming in here, I knew that Tom was gonna be good. I didn't think that he was gonna get his first win, but he put himself in a great position, capitalized on Cameron's mistake, and then further none. He never made any mistakes for that 15 minutes, and landed himself on top of the step at probably one of the most prestigious Supercross races. I mean, as anybody knows, Daytona, if you're going to win any race, Daytona is one Supercross race you want to try to win. And just look at the fans, man. There's it was a packed house for his first
place. That place was packed. The fan turnout was incredible. I mean, just epic vibe. It was good. Daytona did a great job. I'm interested to see how Vial can build on this. I agree with you, and you know, the guy is a great rider. You said he is an MXGP MX2 champ, two-time. The guy knows how to win championships, clearly, And I look forward to seeing how he can build on that. Hayden Deegan, I was expecting a lot more. We talked about it in the broadcast. Will got some comments from his dad. His dad said, he's just not the same kid tonight. So interesting to was interesting to hear that. Now, he had a gnarly get off.
Oh, yeah.
Right? In practice. And
here's his practice.
I can't believe you raced, dude. I can't believe you raced.
Yeah, you know, look, he got unbelievably lucky. I mean, if he would have not cleared the triple with his body, 100% circumstances would have been different. Looks like he just cross-rutted up there. He looked like the front wheel was one rut over to the left, the rear. And I'm assuming the other thing is I'm assuming they're running in time qualifying here. They are probably running the scoop tire. And at that time you could see as he came out of the turn there, it was a little bit, had some acceleration. You could see the red clay kind of coming through where the grass and sand, meet the red clay, kind of where the takeoff space of the takeoffs are. And those paddle tires, let's call it Dunlop's sandy tire that we have as an option to run. Sometimes don't really work like that, as well in those conditions where it's a little bit harder like that. And maybe that's what it was. You can just see him sliding off of that thing, getting cross rutted and was able to clear the jump with his body, luckily. But yeah, I mean, coming off of a crash like that, you know, this is one of those scenarios that mentally tough that I would consider mentally tough. I think Hayden salvaged his night pretty well. But I can tell you from experience and from other people that I've raced with, like a big crash like that can really affect a guy's head only a few hours before his main event time, right? So he was able to block it out. He rode strong. He was able to come in with a fourth. So not a stellar ride. And here's his little freestyle action right here, a little 360.
Yeah, what'd you think of that, dude? What'd you think of that? So hold up 1 second. We're going to pay some bills here. This is the Boxo breakdown, and I wanted to talk to you about this and get your insight and what you thought about how this was a heck of a save. So this week, the Boxo breakdown. If you haven't been to Boxo, go check them out and got some incredible tools. Go get yourself a RC replica 3-drawer moto box. It comes in, you'll love it. Or it comes in a 5-drawer too. But Boxo breakdown, it's the save. Walk us through it, RV. Roll the tape.
Well, dude, it's a crazy, crazy save. I mean, it shows you the skill level that these guys have. So I obviously he comes in there. He gets on the brakes. He jumps that table to table. The rear gets loose. Once again, I'd like to know if they were running that paddle tire, because under braking it can get loose like that and flip around on you. But just the sheer fact of him not either tightening up and kind of like trying to manhandle the motorcycle and it coming and try to still save going into the rut. Yeah. He felt it obviously coming around as he was on the brakes. The bike flips around, and it just obviously happened to land in a position where the bike was laid over enough to where he was able to just land with the rear tire and flip it around under clutch, under power. Shows you the leg strength that these riders have, how quick they can think on their feet too. That's what I kind of look from it. Like, yeah, part of this is luck for sure. Part of this is 100% a little bit of luck, but the other thing is too, is having the strength, having the whereabouts, the knowabouts of, hey, I'm going to
the instincts.
Yeah, the instincts of just like making a split second decision. There was no time for Hayden right there just to be like, okay, this is what's happened. No, this was he was shooting from the hip and almost hoping for the best, right? But that's what the leg strength, the being so intuitive on the motorcycle, the instincts on the motorcycle, and that's what, you know, good little freestyle action there.
And yeah, look, I
loved it. He didn't even lose a position.
I know. It's like, boom, just does a 360 and he goes, and you are spot on right there. It's like the ability to make the call the audible and adapt to the situation, keep the bike going, the amount of strength that he had to do that. I mean, those things, like some of that stuff is so hard to teach, RV. And like, I couldn't believe it when I was watching, like, oh my gosh, I can't believe he saved that. Cause I thought for sure he was going down. And, not to mention, I mean, do you know how gnarly Daytona Supercross is? to do that and still put in a solid ride, that had to like get the heart rate.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure after that had happened, like as he goes into the turn, he sees Pierce out of the corner of his eye going up the inside. He salvages, fending off that pass. I would almost think that they're knowing Hayden and in the interviews he gives off, I almost think he'd had to have been laughing in his helmet. Like, dude, I just pulled that off, you know, and then back to business, obviously. It was a good ride. It wasn't anything to write home about, but he is only 3 points out of the championship at this point, I believe. 49-52 is what we have for points gap. Hayden's 49 and Max Ancy with 52. So very, very well in it. And Tom Viel back in it, right? Not back in it, but one step, two steps closer with 49-2. Hayden and Tom with 49. Pierce with 51 and Cameron with 51. And obviously Max Ancy with 52. So, man, we got a really close points battle and race with these 250 guys.
The East Coast, yeah. DP Gill, 23, is the 250 East class all even, and no one is the standout guy besides Deegan, and he puts over hype.
Yeah, I mean, I think everybody – look, I think that Max, obviously not a stellar performance from him with an eighth on the night there at Daytona. So he's – if anybody's in critical kind of mass right now, I feel like, especially being in the position that Max is in, like being holding the red plate, if he can hold on to this thing for multiple races, he'll be in a position that he's never been into. Let's call it, I think that's the firepower Honda.
Yeah, firepower Honda, yeah.
Yeah, firepower. So, I'd call it a kind of a good effort, but privateer effort, and being in this position is unbelievable. So my point here is I'd like to see Max have the consistency and still put in some of these good rides and bring it down to the finish. I know he's leading the points right now, but this is going to be uncharted territory for Max. And why I say that is that if we get down to two or three rounds to go and he's in this points position that he's in right now, it's going to be a whole set of different circumstances for somebody like Max that's never been in its championship fight, that has a chance to win this East Coast championship at the last round. The pressure, the mental toughness, strongness, that's what we're going to have to find out later to come is if he can keep himself in this position to win. Because, yeah. I mean, it'd be amazing to have a privateer-backed Max Anstey win an East Coast championship. It's like I said, I think last year I talked a lot about it last year. Is like it says his career is back with a vengeance for sure.
Yeah, I mean a heck of a comeback. Like he's resurrected his career.
Right? Yeah,
he reestablished himself, and it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out. And I think I keep thinking like is Hayden, because there's so much hype around him for good reason. You know, he came into the season wounded.
Yep.
And I thought that perhaps like after last week when he won in Arlington, and had he not had that practice crash at Daytona, maybe we would have seen some more progression, you know, like he was going to continue to get better week in and week out. And maybe this crash hurt him a little bit. So this is an opportunity for a guy like Cameron McAdoo or Max Anstey and the other guys in the title fight to take advantage of maybe his hardships that he's had, right? I mean, I would be.
Yeah. That's why I thought it was like I have my notes right here. Like Max didn't ride a stellar main event, rode a great heat race, but has to rebound after this Daytona, has to rebound, get himself back in inside the podium position, if not his, win and get those extra, get those extra points. He needs to rebound after this.
What do you think?
I feel like if he doesn't rebound after this, Ricky, I feel like that the pressure is going to kind of start to really overtake him if he can't get after that eighth place.
Yeah. What do you think about McAdoo? You think that was a hell of a ride. He put in.
Yep.
He rode really well. I mean, he had that mistake, and dude, everyone's making mistakes. Like it was a brutal track. as we know. So I'm not banging on him or anything like that. I'm not going to beat him up for making a mistake on the treacherous conditions. I think he looks pretty good. And, you know, his performances have been overshadowed because of the opening round when he went down. You take out that opening round, he's the points leader.
Yep. Yeah. Like, no, I do. I liked what I see from Cameron. Look, Cameron's always got the speed, and we all know he's probably the hardest fighter. He's got the most heart probably out of anybody. Maybe he gets a little ahead of himself in that department, and that's where some of these mistakes come from. But on that tough track that Daytona offered, yes, he did make a mistake while he was winning, costly mistake that cost him the win. I think he could have won. That 250 main event if it wasn't for this mistake in the rhythm section that we're watching currently on the replay. But yes, he's 1 point out of the lead. So I'd say he's another one to keep your eye on. I still think we have some good races from him, some wins.
There we go.
Yeah, there you go. Max Ancy, 52. Cameron, 1 point down. Pierce, 1 point down. Tom Biel, 3 points down, sitting in fourth. And Hayden sitting in fifth with 3 points down. Also, Cody Shock only 4 points down, sitting in sixth. Dax Bennett sitting in seventh with 8. So, man, dude, it's so close. All the way to seventh is so close. Yeah. Even, I mean, if you go back to Hammaker in eighth, sitting in eighth with 13 down. I mean, everybody on this top 10 list right here is eligible to potentially win this championship. We all know
especially
that.
I look at the single digits, dude. I like it's awesome. And what, this was the third round. So we're going into round four. These guys are on a little stretch here. So we go, Birmingham this weekend, new venue. Can't wait to get there. And then Indy after that. Like, things are going to be happening fast. It's going to be really, really exciting. Dude, we got a bonus question. Bonus question from Tony McCarthy. Do you think the AMA will ever do a Legends race? Ricky, Ryan, Stu, Deegan, Reed, Brayton, Moosecan, just to name a few. By the way, your podcast is amazing. Thanks for the time. I can tell you this much, RV. If AMA ever wanted to host a Legends race, you won't see me out there. Racing for me is done, brother.
Yeah, it's a really tough one. You know, Tony, it's look, we all like to be behind the gate in some way or form.
I don't.
Well, I mean, look, if it was four wheels and a cage, I know you'd like to be doing that, right?
Yeah.
So
some form of
racing, we'd like to be behind the gate and racing something. But no, it definitely is tough because, look, myself, I'll use myself as an example. I'm out of shape. I don't ride as much as I'd probably like to. So, but the problem is we can still haul the mail. We can still put ourselves in that is the problem. We can put ourselves in situations that we're not ready for at this point. Yes, we're Ricky Carmichael, we're Ryan Villopoto. We have all these race wins and all these titles to our name, and that's great. But it's just like anything. If you don't keep doing it every single day at these speeds, catastrophic things can happen. And I think now, you know, where we both sit on the other side of the table is there's a little piece of me that I likes to live kind of on that edge. And you go out and ride and you're like, oh shit, that was a little bit close there. And that's enough for me. Right. So it's tough because you can't get out there and race, because as soon as you do, our egos will come out there. Hey, I'm going to put it to Stu. I'm going to put it to Ricky. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. And it escalates very, 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 very quickly. And then year one turns around. It's like, hey, we're all going to be out here hanging out, having a good time. And then year two is like, this guy starts training a little bit earlier. And then three, it's like pretty soon, then you're back in that situation where you're training to race. And that's what we did and not what we do anymore.
That's right. Good little bonus question. Appreciate that, Tony. We announced I want to get your thoughts. We announced the SMX playoffs for this year, second year. And it's going to be I like the venues myself personally. So we're going to Charlotte again, starting in Charlotte, then Texas, and then Vegas. I like that. I like the fact that we're ending in Vegas. I think it's
so hot, do I.
Right. It's a hot spot for people from around the world. Great city to go to. A lot to you know, a lot to do there, you know, outside of the SMX playoffs.
Well, look, I've complained about this for a while now.
Have you? Of
not going, you know, look, Salt Lake's a great city. But for some reason, maybe it's just because I grew up with the last Supercross, of the season was always in Vegas. Yes, Vegas is tiring, but it's also, I think it's a good place to have a finale like this. And I'd love to see the banquet come back to some degree. You know, I'd love to see it come back and throw a mean banquet for these guys and for the grueling season that they've had. So I'm stoked to see it going back to the Vegas. I believe it's right before the boys' birthday. So they've already seen the commercial and they're like, dude, hey, can we go to Vegas? I'm like, yeah. So it sounds like we might all be up there as a family, but
sweet.
Yeah, it'll be cool. You know, they've never seen Vegas. I like going to Vegas. So, yeah. I'm
stoked. You gonna bring your motorhome, dude?
I don't know. Maybe we should put it out there at the speedway and the drag strip out there in Vegas. So it should be really good. I'm looking forward to see the track that they build there and then to have it the finale. I mean, there's not a better city, I don't think, to
have. Our producer is going back to Vegas. He hadn't been in 15 years. He's probably going to be like a caged lion.
That's right. That's right.
Hey, if you bring your motorhome, I might try to rent like a camper or something, dude.
Have
us a little setup. Because when I was at
the first
SMX playoffs when we were at Charlotte at ZMAX, dude, those fans were vibing so hard. It looked like so much fun. I'm like, I want to be with you guys. They're all barbecuing, grilling. It was like it was a true event.
Yeah.
Rich Lane says he's going to get us a trailer, dude.
Oh, so, yeah, let's do it, Rich.
I want a fifth wheel. I want slides. And, dude, like, bring us
heated floors.
That's
come on, Ricky.
Dude, that's right. Well, yeah, I like it. I think it's great. It's going to be, you know, it's going to be a lot of fun this year, RV, now that these racers and the teams have went through the process and know how the points work. I'm excited to see how the strategy is going to play out with the riders, you know, with the points and how they add each weekend. It's going to be fun to see how they handle it, I think.
No, it's definitely going to be really, really interesting to see. And I can just say off the strategy off the top of my head right now would be I'm going to start the playoffs with the intent of trying to win as many as possible, right? But you also have to have that backup plan on what happens if you don't win. Maybe you win the first one, but you miss the middle one. I think number one, you go out, try to win all three. I mean, that's the cherry on top, but we all know that doesn't happen. So how do you rebound and what's your strategy after, either a mistake or you don't win one, right? Because as you said, the points compound and that's where it gets tricky to figure out, you know, where this is going to end up because of the compounding points.
If you're going to have I wouldn't call it a throwaway, but if there's one where you are going to underperform for some silly reason or you have unfortunate luck, the first playoff race is where you're going to want that to happen.
Totally.
Yeah. Looking ahead, Birmingham, I'm super excited about it. The schedule, we'll throw that up. Here's the schedule. So let's see here. Thursday, as you guys know, SMX Insider with Weege and JT. That's on YouTube. Love what they're doing. Actually, I saw Weege prepping for that. They're getting ready to film that or getting their content stuff. Saturday, 1:30 p.m. Eastern, race day live, practice and qualifying. That's live on Peacock, and it's a 7 p.m. Eastern time. So Alabama, that will be 6 o'clock start. But if you're tuning in live on Peacock, it'll be 7 p.m. Eastern. Then Sunday, 12 p.m., the NTT IndyCar Series starts off in the streets of St. Pete. So we'll see our man Lee Diffie on the broadcast. Hinchcliffe will be there on analysis, as well as T-Bell. Looking forward to getting that started in my home state of Florida. So a lot to look forward to this weekend coming up for sure. Birmingham, a new venue, RV, we've talked about. I think it's similar, the stadium, from what I've heard, to Snapdragon.
Okay.
Yeah, it's Snapdragon. So here's a look. I haven't even seen it yet. Looks like a pretty tight first corner, 180 sweeping. long rhythm right out of the gate. So that'll be interesting to see how that plays out. Maybe some guys will be doing some different combinations. Take it away.
Yeah, I like how it goes across the start straight there, a kind of bit on an angle. Looks like you're going to have some good speed, some good passing points. Got the big finish line here into a right-hander. Let's see how many whoops we have in this. I know that the track map's not the same, but looks like a good set of whoop section here. Hopefully those are decent size. And another nice rhythm section, triple on, triple, triple, double into the turn. Man, Dirtworks has been doing a great job with the track layouts. It's not an easy job, dude. Like, we had 50 years of Supercross click over not too long ago, and these guys have been at building these combinations for 50 years. You know, obviously the same person, but through the course, you can only do so many things. So these guys are coming up with something new and different and good raceable tracks is good to see. I'm stoked. That looks like a good raceable Supercross track.
Yeah, I'm excited to see how it turns out. And yeah, Dirtworks guys do a great job. Now those soccer fields, like what we're going to, the soccer field stadiums, they're a bit wider. So maybe those guys have a little bit more room to play with. Maybe that's why there's the back and forth. Yeah, it'd be interesting. I know you love big whoops, but I think that section might change because they are going to, I think it's standard 9 whoops. So maybe they make them bigger because they're shorter. I don't know. Time will tell. It also depends on dirt. I heard that there might be some inclement weather while they're going to be building the track. But looking forward to all the fans turning.
And then that's one thing we don't know, Ricky, right? We don't know the texture of the dirt. We don't know if it's Birmingham, so Alabama, you said. So maybe it could be a clay base. If they do open stadium, if they do have some of that weather while they're building, that always makes for a sponge, right? So it definitely can be gnarly for the racers once they do build the track. So that's going to be interesting to see because that dirt can be that can play a big factor in how the condition is going to race on Saturday.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, everybody, I appreciate you guys for tuning in. I know RV and I do. You guys have been turning it up. We've had some great numbers. Last week's show was almost record numbers. So we appreciate you guys. And you might not like us, but if you respect us, that's all we ask for. We try to hit it to you straight. We hope we're glad that you guys appreciate our analysis. Thanks for all of our sponsors, United Motorsports, Moxo USA, Quadlock Case, Dunlop Tires. We appreciate your partnership. You guys are great brands, and we're happy to have you on board. RV, what you got planned for the rest of the week, brother?
Oh, it's not too much. Just kid programs, baseball. We're heavily into that right now. So that's about it, man. Just enjoying the time before I head off for another Yamaha event, I think, month. So,
Sweet. Where are you going?
I think Colorado. A trip to Colorado is coming up for side by side. So
side by side. That's good.
Yeah, the R-Max.
Ooh, that'd be fun. Yeah. You guys get like? Do they let you guys break it loose there and stuff?
Oh yeah. No. We can put ourselves into some predicaments every now and then for sure.
You ever want to try to like get it on? You ever want to try to bike it?
Yeah. You don't want to catch the rim, but we have a good time. It's a good group of people, and it's the cool thing is normally, as you know, Ricky, when we travel, we're in the position we're in, we really don't get to see anything other than the inside of the stadium and your motorhome and the semi. So now when I'm off and doing my travel with Yamaha, we're actually getting to see some really cool stuff and spending time almost like a tourist. And seeing what all these places have to offer. So that's one thing that's definitely the pace of life has changed from flying in on Friday and flying out Sunday morning early.
I hear you. Well, I'm ready. I can tell you it's been a great week for me, brother, but I am ready to get home. So I'll wrap this thing up here, go watch a few more races and get back to Tally and start prepping for Birmingham. Everybody, once again, thank you very much, and we will see you next week.
Want the same expert advice you get from the pros in the store while shopping online at DiscountTire.com? Meet Treadwell, your personal online tire guide that matches you with the perfect tire for your vehicle. Get your best match in 1 minute or less with Treadwell by Discount Tire.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.